praise his name. Let's stand together, if you will. Just bow our heads. Are you happy to be out this evening?
Yes.
Amen. What a wonderful opportunity. Dear Lord Jesus, oh God, we are truly thankful, Lord, that we can come, Lord, have a place that, Lord, you've provided for us. Then, Lord, you put a desire in our hearts to fulfill your word, to gather together. Lord, and there's reasons for it, Lord. This late hour, Father, Satan's on every hand trying what he can to deceive us or, Lord, just get us to stumble and fall. But, Lord, we can draw strength under your Spirit, Lord, even from one another, Lord. We thank you for that. Lord, may we take advantage of every opportunity we have. Bless us, Lord. Bless the service with your presence. Lord, in every phase, may you just get the glory and honor of everything we ask. In your precious holy name we pray. Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Turn with me, if you would, in our capstone books. Like page 68. I saw the light. Thankful I saw the light, saints. I wandered so aimless, my life filled with sin. I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Oh, I saw the light. I saw the light, no more in darkness, no more, amen. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Just like a blind man, I wandered along. Worries and cares I called for my own. But then, like a blind man, that God gave back his sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Oh, I saw the light. I saw the light. No more in darkness, no more in night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord. Join your heart if you saw the light, saints. Amen. In our pamphlets, I think, page 10, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? Oh, you've seen his love in your life.
There will never be a sweeter story of the Savior's love divine. Oh, love that brought him from the realms of glory, just to save a sinful soul like mine. Oh, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? Oh, wonderful, oh, wonderful. Oh, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? Hallelujah. Wonderful it is. Sing that chorus again. Amen. Oh, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? Wonderful. Wonderful. Oh, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? Wonderful it is to me. Oh, boundless as the universe around me, reaching to the farthest soul away, saving, keeping love, it was that found can truly say. Oh, is it the love of Jesus, something wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Oh, is it the love of Jesus, something wonderful, wonderful it is to me.
Oh, have you really experienced his love, saints?
Yeah.
Oh, hallelujah. It's truly something wonderful. Praise his name. Back in our capstone books on 96. Amen. What a happy day that's going to be, saints.
Amen.
Truly, it's so close. You can see it. Oh, what a happy time that's sure to be. Jesus coming after me. I hear him calling me away from this old world forever to stay. And when he takes me by the hand in that blessed, oh, think about it, what a happy time that's sure to be. Oh, what a happy day, amen. Oh, what a happy day, oh, that will be when we gather there. What a happy day, oh, when we climb those golden stairs, we'll be with those who've gone before, James and John, brother Brad. What a happy time I sure to be. What a happy day, oh, what a happy day. And when I walk into heaven fair, see my blessed Savior there. He'll place a crown upon my head, give me a robe of white to wear. I'll walk on streets of purest gold, live forever and not grow old. Shout and sing through the endless ages, oh, what a day. Oh, what a happy day. Oh, that will be when we gather there. What a happy day. Oh, when we climb those golden stairs. We'll be with those who've gone before. James and John, brother Branham and Moore. What a happy time that's sure to be. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, what a happy day. Oh, that will be when we gather there. What a happy day. Oh, when we climb those golden stairs. We'll be with those who've gone before. James and John, brother Branham and Paul. What a happy time that's sure to be. Oh, what a happy day. Oh, saints, it's going to be a wonderful day. Amen. Truly looking forward to it. Praise his name. Brother Hamilton, would you come up? Trumpets.
Yes,
hallelujah. Where will you be when the trumpet sounds? Where will you be when it sounds so loud? Gonna sound so loud. Gonna wake up the dead. Tell me, where will you be when it sounds? Tell me, where trumpet sound. Where will you be when it sounds so loud? Gonna sound so loud. Gonna wake up the dead. Tell me, where will you be when it sounds?
Amen.
Where will you be, saints? Amen. Make it up right now, saints. Hallelujah. I may have something on your heart. Amen. Just hold it on your heart.
Let us bow our heads.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful and so appreciative in our hearts that you can give us these times, is even now. That, Father, we can come and be together and worship you, Father, and to praise your glorious, mighty name. And then, Lord, knowing that we can bring our needs before you even tonight. And, Father, you know down deep inside, Lord, what we really need on earth. Lord Jesus, sometimes I wonder, Lord, do we really even know what we should ask for? But Father, the Spirit is truly ready. And Father, you know exactly what we have need of. We ask that you would take over tonight, Father, and really go down into our hearts and take care of what really is needed down deep inside. Father, we may know that we may need a healing. And we may know that we would need some kind of a provision of some sort, maybe a physical or natural or financial or whatever it may be. But Father, again, we ask that first above everything that you come down in our hearts. And Father, just search us real good. That's why we've gathered here again tonight, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would search our hearts. And as the word begins to come forth, Lord, may the word of God saturate our hearts and open up doors in our heart. That Father, maybe there's some kind of short place there that you know all about that we don't realize what's going on. But Father, you know all these things. So we ask that you would do that first. And then, Lord, all these other things we ask that you would take care of. Lord, we commit it into your hands. Lord, we know that you're the great healer. Lord, you're the great physician. You can take care of things and know what things is that's needed in our bodies way more than any physician out here in the land knows. But, oh God, you're the great physician, and you know how to fix everything just the way it needs taken care of. So we ask that you would do that for those that need healing. And, Lord Jesus, again, give us revelation of the word. Give us revelation of every word of God. May it be alive in our heart. The Father would be manifesting every moment of our life. We ask that you would grant these things now, Father, and bless our brother as he is about to come forward, Lord, and Father, may he feel the love pulling for him and feel our love pulling for the Word of God, that, Lord Jesus, it would make it easy for him. It would not have to strain, Lord, but, oh God, he'd just feel that great magna pulling. So we ask that you would bless the remainder of the service now. Again, that for the purpose that you would get the glory and honor through everything. We ask through the lovely, precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We love you. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You have a song tonight, Karen?
You may be seated. Ask if Karen come.
Let that word come in your
Let's stand, if you will. Sing a little chorus, Only Believes. Ask our brother to come.
Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe.
You glad to be here this evening?
Amen.
Amen. So thankful for another opportunity as we bow our heads for a word of prayer. Precious Lord, we truly come tonight just so humbled, Lord, to know that you're here with us and to feel your sweet Holy Spirit, Lord, and to know that you said where two or three will gather in my name, there you would be in the midst. And Lord, we've come tonight just to gather around your word and have you speak to our hearts. And Lord, you knew where these words were predestinated to go. And Lord, the scriptures that would be read, you knew we would read them before there was a moon or a star. And Lord, we just ask that you would take your precious word and may it be of a strength and encouragement to someone. Lord, may it be a help. And Lord, we just commit ourselves unto you for service and ask your will be done in all things. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
He is so wonderful.
Yes,
amen.
Amen.
While you're still standing, if you will, we're going to turn our Bibles over to Matthew, the 14th chapter. And just kind of strange, the sister sang that song. It goes right along with the scripture we was going to read. And, you know, sometimes you don't know why the Lord lays stuff on your heart to bring, and sometimes just like, well, we've heard these things, we may know these things, and but you know, the Word of God is inspired, and I have found that many times, it doesn't matter how many times you hear a scripture, there will be a time and a place to where the Holy Spirit just has a way to use it in a special way and enlighten something to you. So by God's grace, we're just going to renew our minds to some things tonight and just pray the Lord will strengthen us through His Word. Matthew, the 14th chapter, and let's just start there at the 22nd verse. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the winds was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the winds boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? May the Lord bless me his word, and you may be seated.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Kevin, if you could check that. I thought I'd put that on cool just to keep it, but it feels like it's blowing heat, so you might just want to look at it. You're not seeing it right. But as we read this scripture, and as the sister sang the song, and you know, you think about situations and maybe looking at it just a little bit different tonight. You know, Peter, in a moment of realizing that was Jesus on the water and knowing and saying, Lord, bid thou me come to you. And excitement, he come out of that boat getting ready to run.
Yes, amen.
But he took his eyes off of the promise just for a moment and began to see the things that was around him. And oh, then the obstacles looked too great on each side of him and he began to sink. And you look at this, and some you might look at it and go, boy, I can't believe, as Jesus said, why did thou doubt? The little faith. And you may say, boy, that was an obstacle for Peter, and he sure failed. You know, you could look at it in that sense as a human mind thinking, why did, this was a failure. Why did God allow that to be recorded? Mm-hmm. But you know, God thought it was so great that he had it recorded for us to still be reading tonight. Yes. Of this situation that took place.
Yes.
And realizing that you and I are a lot alike in the same way. And many times we set out to run a race. And we feel the pull in our hearts and we feel the moving of the Holy Spirit. And we're inspired and we start to move out. But then obstacles begins to rise. Our adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour. He's on every hand. And in this hour, he's doing all he can to stop God's plan from happening. And so we got to be watchful and we want to be Christians as solid and we want to hold forth. And this was written for our admonition that through these examples that was happened, that were allowed to happen to these men before, those Brother Branham spoke of it. He said how God allowed others before us to experience and go through things to help us as we come along to be able to use it as their wisdom to guide and to lead us through the life's paths. And so how great it is, but I just want to renew your minds to some things the prophet said and to let it be of a strength to us. We're going to have battles. Our pastor, if you'll remember just a few services ago, spoke on trials and testings that come our way. And how to keep that fresh in your heart as we think about this. But in the message, The True Easter Seal, this was preached April 2nd, 1961. Brother Branham said, paragraph 70, he said, "The Christian doesn't ask for easy things. There's so much promises today made among Christian people. So many ministers promise the people a false thing. If you'll just come to Christ, all of your troubles is settled. I tell you, when you come to Christ, they then begin." That's when you put on a uniform and you take up a gun and you enter a battlefield. This Christian road is not a flowery bed of ease. It is a battle from the very hour you start until your spirit is set free by death. You're not at a picnic. You're on a battlegrounds. So we are promised things. And that's the beautiful part. There is a prize. There is a goal. And oh my, how we want to make sure that we are marching forward with all that's in us and keeping our eyes focused upon Jesus Christ, who is the Word. Not just coming to church. You won't have no troubles just coming to church. You can attend church all the time and maybe never suffer a lick of problems. But you come to Christ and you watch the old devil. And when he sees you're getting close and sees that the Lord is beginning to work in your life and leading you along, all that's when troubles begin to beset. He don't like it and it makes him upset. But oh my, we must endure till the end. There's been many, many people. And you know, when you think about this and just thinking about the obstacles that come our way. And as our pastor was mentioning, how we should be thankful for those tests and how those trials are more precious than gold, as Peter said. They're allowed for our good, for our benefit. Yes. And oh my, you know, I've had many in my life and some I failed miserably. But through them I've gained strength to grow and to continue to overcome. Yes. By who? By Jesus Christ. Because yes. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. As Paul said, we can't do nothing in ourselves. But as we lean and learn to lean upon him, he will endure and take us through every obstacle, every phase of life we'll ever face. And you know, sometimes that old road can get kind of lonely and it may feel kind of long. But he knows what's needed for us, for the end, for to make us come out shining as pure gold. In the message Victory Day, and just thinking about how, you know, you look back into the scriptures, there's just many, many times you can look at the Hebrew children walking in line and obeying God's word. Doing exactly, and there they came to a fiery furnace for their testimony. Daniel into the lion's den, living for the Lord, but yet those obstacles came, and those obstacles may have looked so great, but God, the Lord took them through with flying colors, and it was recorded again for our benefit to show forth. And just think, today we read about them, we can even look at the prophet of this day and see what God did through his life. And if the Lord should tarry and time would go on, the prophet said they would write another book of Acts behind that church. What could they write about your life and my life that we may have experienced or went through? And they would say, but look what the Lord did and how he brought them through and what took place. Oh, my saints, we are a blessed people to be living in the age we're living and to see. And it goes on here, that, but anyway, he was speaking about Joshua, you know, as the children of Israel, same thing. They come out of Israel right against up against the Red Sea and all the obstacles that laid in their path getting to that promised land. It was Joshua and Caleb, we know, took them over. But he was talking about Joshua here in this message, Victory Day. And he says, there he is in the month of April, probably a mile across Jordan was, because it was in the top of the mountains up there and there was snow melting and all over the plains the river was spread. And no doubt the enemy would have said, now God is quite a general, isn't he? Lead his army right up here in the time of spring when the river is at its worst, when it's the worst time to cross, and then lead an army up there and led them to cross. He says, God lets disappointments happen to show victory. Oh, if we could only see that, he says. See, you'd only see these things that seem to be so burning to you and upsetting you. They are trials. They are things to stand still and focus your glasses on the Word of God. Yes. And speak the Word and then just walk forward. That's all there is to it. When we get to a time when we say, God, I don't know what to do. I'm up against it. Just speak the Word. Lord, I believe. And just start walking forward. And God does the opening of the sea. And you just keep moving on. Amen. And how that's truly the benefit of keeping our focus and our attention to God's words. The obstacles today, a lot of times, is all the voices that are around us and all the turmoil and it's this way and it's that way. And as we were speaking last Thursday evening on the word is putting that stabilizer on us. It's bringing us to that place that we're no more tossed to and fro. That doesn't mean that the waves still aren't high. But we're held steady by an anchor. Yes. And oh my, it will weather through the storm.
Sure will.
But oh my, as the prophet said, just want these things to be fresh in your heart. For, like I said, it's just amazing. We've heard these things many times, but God must have a purpose for it.
Yes,
he says, and this is in the Church Age book. It says, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials that are to try you. That is what Peter said. Is it strange that God wants us to develop a Christian-like character that comes through suffering? No, sir. We all have trials. We're all tried and chastened as sons. Let me drop down just a little bit. He drops down here. He says, Matthew, love. He says, there's no true believer free from it. This is of God. This is the will of God. It is needful. We need to let the Lord teach us the truth that we are to suffer and be Christ-like in doing it. Love suffereth long and is kind, Matthew 5, 11 and 12. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. The cloudy skies and storms of life are no signs of God's disapproval. Neither are bright skies and still waters signs of his love and approval. His approval of any of us is only in the beloved. His love is elective, which he had for us before the foundation of the world. Yes. Does he love us? Oh, yes. But how shall we know? We shall know because he said so and manifested that he did love us, for he brought us to himself and gave us of his Spirit, placing us as sons.
Yes.
And how shall I prove my love to him? By believing what he said and by conducting myself with joy amidst the trials that he in his wisdom allows to come to pass.
Yes,
and oh my, how that, by believing him, as you know, as you come to that place of realizing God's word is so precious and the understanding, you know, having come through things that we've come through in life, and maybe some of you have experienced the same thing of, today it's this way and tomorrow it's that way and this is the truth and oh, nope, we've changed, it's this way. You know, that really has a way to unbalance you, so to speak. And maybe even without the Holy Spirit, it'll cause your mind to begin to think none of it's right. And it'll push you to that place, but God's word is truth. And it's, he said, he meant just what he said. And if you go back and look at his word, every time his word went forth and it was taken just the way he said it and it was applied just the way he said to apply it, it worked out exactly the way he said it would.
Yes.
But oh, sometimes man has got in it and messed it all up and moved it and twisted it and turned it. But I'm here to tell you that I have found to be true.
Yes.
that you take him at his word, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And he will back up every word that he said was laying here. And oh my, what a joy it is when you can see the obstacles arise. And maybe this is happening and this is happening. But you just in patience endure and wait on the Holy Spirit. And just be calm and you watch the Holy Spirit work it out in just time and bring it right down the line. And it's better than you could ever have made it happen in yourself. The Lord knows what he's doing and he knows what it takes. And you know, each one of us are very, very different, and he knows. You know, as Brother Branham used the, I think it was the expression of Moses and his wife at the time, saying, you know, they balanced each other out. It was in one of the earlier messages he was speaking that it helped, her character kind of helped Moses along. And I may not have it right word for word how he put it, but when you think about that, God allows things to happen. He places us in life. He rocks us through every obstacle, every phase, every course. You may wonder why I wound up like this or why I was over here or why'd I have to go through that, but he knows where he's taking you to, and he knows what you're going to face in life.
Amen.
And oh my, you know, it's something. I'll just throw this in there just to think about. This was in the greatest battle ever fought, where Brother Branham talked about this, and after I heard him mention this, I went and looked this up a little bit. But he mentioned a minister called Peter Cartwright. And I after he told this story, I was kind of wondering, you know, I hadn't heard the name real abundantly, and I thought, well, so I looked it up. So Peter Cartwright was actually under John Wesley, and he was part of the Great Awakening in the early 1800s. He preached over 15,000 sermons and baptized 10,000 converts in that great movement. Out in the middle of the West, in the rough country and wild terrain, he was a circuit riding preacher. But Brother Branham told this little story, and it's so true. And I just want you to think about it. As it was, it kind of caught my attention. It's in paragraph 225, and this was in the greatest battle ever fought. He says, like Peter Cartwright, he went into a city, and he said, "The Lord told me to come in here and have a revival." And he rented an old storeroom, and he got in there, and he began to clean it up. And a big bully of the town, pistol hanging on his side, walking down, got the doors, some of them, and said, "What's that guy doing down there?" Said, "He's a preacher, and he's going to have a meeting." He said, "Guess I just have to go down and throw him out in the street and run him out of here, that's all. We don't want no meetings around our place." And so he goes down there and he stomped down the door, and Peter Cartwright had his coat on, you know, and he was just washing the windows and walls down, little bitty fella, you know. And the old preacher laughed at him and said, you know, for eating chicken with his hands, which was etiquette today, so he's just washing the windows, fixing around, and the big bully walked over and pulled his coat back, pistol hanging on his side, and said, "What are you doing?" And he said, "I'm washing windows. I just kept washing the windows, you know." He had one purpose. God had told him to hold a revival in washing windows and on down. He said, "We don't allow revivals around here." He said, "Oh, but the Lord told me to hold this revival." And he just kept on with his work, see? And he said, "There's one thing you have to understand." He said, "I run this town around here." And he said, "Oh, you do?" And just kept washing windows, you know? He said, "Before you have a revival, you're going to have to whip me first." And he said, "Oh, I do?" He said, "Well, I'll just do that next then." And he took off his coat and he walked over there, reached up by the collar, knocked him down on the floor, jumped on top of him and said, "I must fight if I should reign. Increase my courage, Lord." And he pounded the tar out of him. And he said, "You got enough?" And he got up and he shook his hand and he got saved that night in church. But I want you to think about his approach. The Lord had moved on his heart to do a work. And in his person of spot here, that bully was his obstacle. But he wasn't deterred. You know, I'm sure, you know, you think about David and Goliath even. Look at the obstacle. Look at the comparison that was there. How great of a thing stood in the way.
Yes.
But it didn't matter. In their mind, God had sent them for a purpose. And they knew they had to get through it.
Yes.
And they didn't lean upon their own abilities. But he knew, that little preacher, he knew God had sent him there to hold a revival. It didn't matter how big that bully was. He knew he was going to win. And you know, That's how we've got to be, is keep our eyes on God's word. It don't matter how big the obstacle is. I don't have to worry about how I'm going to get through it. Yeah. All I've got to do is climb on board and just keep a walking and take God at his word. He will take care of the obstacle one way or another. That's not on me to have to figure out how to get rid of. My obstacle, my only goal is to obey the word and to keep moving forward. He will take care of the rest. If I will but trust him and take him at his word, he will make a way where there is no way. Amen. You know, it's just amazing to see what God can do if you'll just focus your attention to his word and focus to what he said. Focus out the voices of today. Focus out the this can't be and that can't be and this shouldn't be, but focus yourself to the word. Yeah. And in simplicity, the prophet said, I don't care if you can't even write your name if you'll take God at his word. Wasn't Peter unable to write his name? He was unlearned. Look at the experiences that God has given us to show us that it's not by power and not by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Yes. He will overcome, for greater is he that is in us than he that is in all the world. Amen. Oh, if we can but learn to lean upon him and his strength. Amen. And he knows what's best for us. He knows what we're going to go through. He knows exactly what we're going to face. Oh, for his glory and to his honor. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me see here. Amen. Just think of this. The prophet put it this way in the message, presuming this was preached April 8th, 1962. Excuse me. Old weather out there, just can't make up its mind if it's spring or fall. Amen. Here in presuming April the 8th, 62, paragraph 52, Brother Branham was speaking about himself. He said, I was called to by God to preach the gospel 31 years ago, and I've fought ever since. Every inch of ground, I fought with the sword of God, taking the promise and cutting away. Yes. Somebody come and say, well, now we belong to the Baptist group, and say, you can't believe that. That wasn't for us. What do you do? Take the sword and cut free from it and keep marching on. I come with the Pentecostals and said, if you go with this group, we'll have nothing to do with you. The other group said, you go with them, we'll have nothing to do. Cut loose and just keep marching on. I've had to fight every inch of it, but what is it? It's a promise. God made the promise, let's stay with it. God promised it, no matter, you have to battle. If everything comes low and lazy, why, you're what are you overcoming? Mm-hmm. They overcome by the word of God and their testimony and the blood of Christ. You've got to overcome something. You've got to have some obstacles and people that different and fuss with you and tell you you're holy rollers and things, that puts before you, it's a trial. If you haven't got that, then you're not even in the battle. What do you do? Join the church? What did you do? Join an army and get training for? To lay around and strut up and down the streets and show off? That's the way some Christians act, that we want to be looked up to. You ain't going to be looked up to. You're going to be looked down on. For all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecutions. Yes. But pick up the sword and cut everything free from you and keep going on. Joshua and Caleb, they stilled the people. And they said, we can take it. They said, we can't take it. We just can't do it. That's all. See, they were looking at the Amalekites, but Joshua and Caleb was looking at the promise. And there's a difference. It depends on what you're looking at.
Yeah.
So make sure you focus your attention to what he said.
Yes.
What the word says. Focus your attention to that. And focus everything else out, and you watch God fulfill the promise Amen. To you.
Amen.
Oh my, he's not slack concerning his promises.
Amen.
Amen, but he will bring them to pass.
Sure will.
Amen. You know what? You'll remember this little illustration, but it's so true, and as you continue to walk with the Lord, and I have found it to be just this real, as a you've heard our pastor say many times he would believe this more than he believes that's a light bulb. Mm-hmm. And use that as an illustration because God's word is truth and he cannot lie.
Amen.
And oh, how he's proved over and over in every word has come to pass. And in the days we're living in, if you look at the times and the seasons and the things that's taking place around us, it's amazing to see God's word being fulfilled that was spoken 50, 60 years ago today, you know, and seeing the fulfillment of that word come to pass. Can you imagine for those that had eyes to see when Jesus came on the earth, those that recognized him and to be who he was. The promised word that had been promised and talked about for all of those years was there, made real before them. And how it is today that we've heard about a rapture. We've heard about an end time. We've heard about this world is going to be consumed. We are seeing the manifestations of that more than ever. And we are seeing the words of prophecy come to pass. We're seeing the scriptures made real and all that's been talked about. We're seeing that time, and what a joy it ought to put in our hearts, because many righteous and prophets and men have longed to see the day that we're in. And we're here by God's grace. He chose us for this age because he knew there was a reason he chose you for to be the person that would be here during this time, this most deceitful age that there ever was. He chose you to be a Christian and to be a representative of himself, a witness of the Holy Spirit in this age. Here in the trumpet that gives an uncertain sound, this is, you'll remember him talking about this. He said it was an old gentleman lived down in the South. He said, and he always packed a Bible. His name was Sam. He said it's a holy Bible. He said it's written on it. He said, I believe it from cover to cover. I believe the cover also, he said, because it's got holy Bible wrote on it. And the fellow was talking to him and said, you don't believe all is in it. And he said, yes, sir, I sure do. And he said, now you mean to tell me you'd do anything that Bible said to do? And he said, yes, sir. He said, what if that Bible said for Sam to go jump through the stone wall there? What would you do? He said, I'd jump. He said, well, now how are you going to get through that stone wall with a hole without a hole being there? He said, if the Bible said for Sam to jump, there would be a hole there when Sam got there. So that's just about right. There would be a hole there. The only thing you have to do is take your stand upon God's word, and God will make the way for the rest of it. Oh, what a great foundation. Amen. If we will but accept him and truly say, amen, Lord, I believe that to be the truth. You know, you think about Sister Hattie Wright. When Brother Brandt was at the house, and it struck her, and she said, that's absolutely nothing but the truth. Something in her heart, it angered, and she knew. There wasn't no one going to convince her any different. But, oh my, that's how this word anchors in the heart of every believer. They hear that word go forth, and it's absolutely the truth. I know that that's thus saith the Lord to me, just as much as if the prophet was standing here himself and saying, thus saith the Lord to you. The word of God being inspired and going forth underneath the anointing of the Holy Spirit, he'll make it real to the heart of that believer. Amen. Oh, yes. Did not our hearts burn within us as he talked with us along the way? Absolutely. Oh, my. Those scriptures were written of those men. But, oh, my, how many of you have experienced the same thing they experienced on that road? Oh, my. You say, well, I never got to walk with Jesus in the flesh. No, but I walk with him every day in the Spirit. Oh my, it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Changes not. Oh my, may we truly give him this glory and honor. Amen. Let's turn over here to Hebrews, the 11th chapter, if you would. Amen. Hebrews 11. And let's go over here to the... Amen. What time is it getting to be? We still got a few minutes. Amen. Let's go to Hebrews 11, and let's start here about the 36th verse and read what Paul was saying. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And these all have obtaining a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. And I want you to think about all the examples back through time of all, think of even the apostles, what they went through and how they gave their lives and different, the Christians at that time in the arenas and all that's taken place. My, when we look at what we're in today, physically, it just seems like we're on a bed of ease. But it's a different age, it's a different time, it's a different, Satan has changed his tactics to today, so to speak, and it's for our ages a little different. But just keeping that in mind, that they've all the things they suffered, so when we go through a little persecution or a little bit of maybe not being as popular or maybe losing a little not being as well liked and maybe not being invited around as much as someone else or maybe some of the other family, don't let it bother you. Hold up your head and hold forth your testimony of what God's done for you. Amen. As he goes on here, God having provided something better for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so does easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Think about what price he paid, what he went through for you. Yes. And oh my, it makes every obstacle you'll ever face seem really, really small. And if you'll keep your eyes upon him and what he has done, it'll take you through in a stronger way. He says, for consider him that endured such contradiction, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. And how true it is, sometimes, you know, the word of God, it is corrective. Love is corrective. And it doesn't mean the pastor knows anything about your life. He doesn't know what's going on. But the word of God, the Holy Spirit searches the reins. It knows the heart. And that word comes forth, and sometimes it may just be the word coming, but all of a sudden the Holy Spirit drop into your heart and you see a dark spot in your life and it just feels like you're just about needing to scrub and crawl under the bench. And maybe the pastor didn't even think about you, wasn't even looking at you, but oh, the Holy Spirit was. He's looking right down in your heart. And you know, sometimes people misinterpret that. They think it was the pastor himself. Oh, he was really digging into my life. But the Holy Spirit knows everything about us. There's nothing hid to him with whom we have to do with. Oh my. So when the Holy Spirit is correcting you, just remember this verse is Paul. He put it here for a reason. Amen. Right in line with what he said. But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Amen. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Oh my. And you know, you say, well, that kind of seems a little strange to read that with where. But no, that's the way the Holy Spirit works. The Holy Spirit is the one that does the chastening. It is the one that's scrubbing and molding and trimming off and conforming us to the image of Christ. And to do that, sometimes it takes some pretty rough sandpaper, it may feel like, to really scrub and a little chiseling over here. But the Word knows exactly what we have need of, and it comes in due season and in due time. And as it comes forth, oh, may we truly keep our eyes focused to the man? No, to the Word. And let it do the straightening up and watch it prepare us for the next obstacle that's coming in our path. Is that'll be the strength that'll take us through and lead us over and to keep us moving right in line with what God's got for us. You sisters can come to the instruments if you would. But isn't it precious to see what God has done? And you know, if you can't look at your own life and say, I can see where the Holy Spirit chastised. At this point, the Holy Spirit really roughed me up. I see that in my life. And then over here, I see where the Holy Spirit really just lifted me up. I see where he brought me through this, and I see he took me through that. It's the experiences of seeing and the reality of what the Holy Spirit has done for you. If he just did it for me, and all you could say is, I saw Brother Tim this, and Brother Tim got, that's all wonderful, but that's no enjoyment. That's like watching somebody eat an ice cream cone, knowing that you would really like to have a bite, but you never got. Boy, that sure looks good. I bet that's really tasty. But boy, he must have really enjoyed that. But oh, when you can be a partaker. Then it's a whole different opportunity. And then it's a whole different realization of what is taking place. And oh my, there's nothing like the precious word of God. As he says, he will draw you to all of them to himself. He does the drawing. He does the pulling. When you've felt that and you've experienced all the things that our pastor's been talking about over the last little bit here, as you see, getting ourselves built up into that place of realizing this is me. My character is being identified. I am looking in the mirror of God's word. I am seeing this take place. Hallelujah. I see those obstacles come. And maybe the first time I really fell and rolled down the hill, but the second time I went right over top with ease and no problem. By the leading of the Holy Spirit and the growth and the nourishment of the word, he is leading us to that place of full stature and oh my, a unity of the faith. Oh my. Aren't you glad for what he's doing for you? Amen. I pray you can take a few nuggets from the word of God and may it strengthen us, encourage us. But always remember, the Holy Spirit knows what we have need of. Yes. And oh my, you know, it feels so good when you see the word of God come and just something's in there checking your heart. The Holy Spirit's working. And it may not even, to everyone else, it may not even seem like there was any chastisement taking place. But the Holy Spirit was working on your heart, my heart, wherever it's needed. He knows. Yes. And oh my, he will do the work that's needed to bring us. He plants, he waters, and he will nurture the growth. Amen. Let's all stand if you would. I was singing a little old chorus before church. We ain't sang in a long time, but I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Amen. I was wondering if we maybe sang that. Well, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Well, I promised him that I would serve him till I die, and I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Well, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Well, I promised him that I would serve him till I die, and I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Well, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Well, I promised him that I would serve him till I die. Yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Amen. Again, a lot of wonderful things you can sit there and just think about and meditate on. A beautiful word that was brought tonight. And just so many nuggets and good things. And I couldn't help but to think when he's talking about, again, being identified, as I mentioned so many times, being identified with the word of God as it comes forth. And I think, you know, back in the days of Jesus, now we think, my, if we could have only been back in that time, because to see that fulfilled, see prophecy as Isaiah prophesied in the Old Testament of Christ coming, Christ came. But think about us now, by the grace of God, here we are living in that time where it was prophesied that the prophet would come in this hour. In Malachi 4, Revelation 10, 1-7. And here we are, a part of that. We are here to see the fulfillment of that. And just think, there's probably people here who's going to see the fulfillment of even the word of the rapture to come forth. To live and go in the rapture. I am looking forward to be one of them. Amen. Knowing it's getting so close and just how the Holy Spirit's dealing with individuals, not groups. He's dealing with individuals. And if you're a part of them individuals that he's dealing with, how blessed you are. Amen. Oh my. Let's keep our eyes on Jesus. Amen. And keep that faith burning our hearts. And may the Holy Spirit keep revealing the word to us. Amen. I was singing a little song earlier today. Faith in God will move mountain. Does anybody got a mountain in front of you tonight? You got a mountain. It just seems like you just can't get over top of something. Do you know God can
conquer that for you. No, he has conquered that for you. If you can only believe. If he will dip that revelation down in your heart, you're more than able to cross that red mountain. Amen. But faith in God will move a mighty mountain. If you haven't got a mountain tonight, I'm sure you've been through some mountains. And guess what? Maybe tomorrow you'll have a mountain. Amen. Why don't we sing it, little chorus? And think about it as you sing it. Those mountains can be moved. Remember what the prophet said in the message token. He said, not if I say unto this mountain, be thou removed. He said, if you say unto this mountain, and be thou removed and cast in the sea, and doubt it not, it shall be done. Do you believe that? Amen. You're predestinated to believe it. Amen. Let's sing it. Oh, faith in God will move a mighty mountain. Faith in God will calm the troubled seas. Oh, faith. About it now. Faith in God will move a mighty mountain. Faith in God will calm the troubled seas, and faith will make the Is it real to you? Oh my. You could be set free right tonight. You sure could. If the Holy Spirit is dealing with your heart and you've got that mountain there, God can take care of that mountain. He'll bring the victory. Just got to commit it to Him. Say, Lord, I can't do it. Here I am. I need you, Lord. Amen. Oh my. I just feel the Holy Spirit wants to deal with somebody. If you just open up your heart, if you just be humble, quit being a know-it-all, quit thinking you know more than God does. You say, Lord, I need you. I'm the one needing you tonight. And Father, you promised me I could have what I asked for. If I come before you and my heart don't condemn me, you got everything made right? Everything's clear? Everything's under the blood of Jesus Christ. Everything's made right. All right? And what you're wanting done is not for your own selfish will, but what you want done in your life is to the glory of God. Is that the way it is? All right, then God will take care of it. If you open up your heart, He'll come in and move it tonight. Well, let's sing it again. It can happen right when we're singing this song. Oh, faith in God will move a mighty mountain. Faith in God will calm the troubled seas. Oh, faith will make the desert like a fountain. Faith will Heavenly Father, it's been just so wonderful to be here tonight, and we just feel the sweetness of your Holy Spirit, and we appreciate that, Father. We know in ourselves we don't deserve it, but Lord, that's where amazing grace comes in, and Father takes care of all the things in our life, knowing that, Father, that's we're here as your children, and Father, we are needy people, and we need you so many times, but it's all, Lord, that Father, we can watch you take care of these things, and then we give you the glory and the honor for it. And so many times, Lord, there's so many of us guilty of thinking, well, I'm not worthy of this, and I can't do this, and I'm a bad person, and I can't be turned into a good person. But Father, if we'd only watch the pattern that you set forth all through the scripture, Lord, you didn't take good people and make them good people. You took bad people and made them into good people. Lord, you took people that was in sin and death and things of flesh and things turned terrible in the wrong direction. And then you turned it all in the right direction. Father, and that's what gives us and lets us see and understand amazing grace. Lord, look at David. Here you said, David is a man after my own heart. And look, we look and see what David did. But Father, we see grace came to David's life. We see many of these people, Lord, even as Apostle Paul, we've seen grace come to Paul's life. We've seen grace come to Peter's life. We've seen grace come to James' life. Lord, we see this all through everything, every example. We've seen grace come through the prophet of this age. Lord, of what direction he was heading for. Even a time, Lord, when he was getting ready to shoot them other boys. But Father, you would not let that gun go off. But Father, you took people with the wrong thoughts and turned it all to the right thinking. And that's why we've come tonight, Lord. That if we've had any wrong thoughts, any wrong directions, Lord, you could chasten us with the Word of God and turn us into the right direction. And Father, again, that's why we love you and appreciate you so very much. And Lord, we see amazing grace so big and wonderful. So Father, just asking again tonight you would help each one of us. Lord, may you reach down even still tonight and touch the needs of your people's hearts and their lives. Heal, Lord, their bodies, their minds, spirits, Lord, and bring everything into your glory. And Father, any that is seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost, Lord, I'm asking tonight again that you'd fill them with the Holy Ghost. Oh, God, knowing everything will be just exactly the way you want it to be then, Lord. Everything will turn out just like you said, and we'll be able to match the promises of God. Doesn't mean we won't have tests. Doesn't mean we won't have trials, but we'll have you in us, Lord, to take us through the tests and trials. And that's what we need, Father. So we ask that you would bless us and keep us safe now as we travel. Bring us back again the next appointed time. Again, that we can give you the glory and the honor and the praise. And Lord, gather around your precious food, the spiritual food in due season. We thank you now for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. Praise God. May the Lord richly bless you. You're dismissed. Do you love him?
Amen.
Amen. I'm glad I was here. Are you?